and the mountains beyond. Bari tilted her head and gave him a questioning look. "Of course I am here," she said, somewhat offended. "Just as I said I would be. Oh, this morning," she whispered, suddenly realizing why he might have thought she would not have come. Bari closed her eyes for a brief moment and then looked at him, wincing. "I did not want anyone to know or suspect we were meeting, so I thought it would be best to continue acting the way we have been." Conan gave her a crooked smile and shook his head. "Good idea, but it won't work. Bonnie and Brenna overheard our whole conversation yesterday afternoon. It was a chore just to keep them from tagging along today." Bari's jaw dropped open. "The whole conversation?" she mouthed. He nodded. "Don't worry. Brenna loves to know all that is going on, but for someone so young, she is surprisingly circumspect about revealing what she knows. Neither she nor Bonnie leaned toward gossip." Bari pressed her lips together and prayed Conan was correct. Then she rolled her eyes and sighed. "I don't know why I care. They learned I want to kiss you weeks ago, and the one person I wouldn't want to know that is you. And you, of course, are the one person she went directly to and told." Conan bit back the large smile that was invading his soul. "Want to kiss you," she had said. "Not wanted to kiss you." Bari still desired him. For that tidbit alone, he was definitely glad he had come. Her claim that she desired him no more had needled him and kept him awake most of the night. He wanted her, but even more, he wanted Bari to want him back. Conan reached over to pull a wax tablet out of the small bag he had brought with him. Bari looked at what he was holding and cackled. The sound was not a feminine one, and it certainly was not a high-pitched giggle. Seeing his frustrated look only made Bari laugh harder. Gasping for breath, she clutched at her stomach with one hand and his shoulder for support with her other. He gave her a perturbed look, which did not help. Her laughter renewed, and tears began to fall. After several deep, calming breaths, she finally got out. "What is that?" while only letting go a few chuckles. "A wax tablet," he said impatiently, waving it in his hand for her to see.
"I know that, but what are you doing with it?"
"Well, I'm not going to waste more vellum. The stuff is hard and expensive to make, and I need every scrap of it for my journey. Not all of us have access to a private supply of hemp paper," he said with a hint of a sneer, using his chin to point at the drawing in her hand. Bari wiped away her tears, then took the wax tablet out of his hand and put it on the ground.
"If that is what you practice drawing on, then no wonder you are having difficulties."
A wax tablet was a reusable and portable writing surface. A piece of flat wood was coated with black or green wax that people could use and then erase by heating the wax through vigorous rubbing. But to make a mark, one had to push hard, and it was impossible to change the direction of a line without lifting the stylus and starting again. Bari lifted her bag and pulled out a large flat board. Stretched across was a rectangular piece of off-white linen cloth. "This was something my father made for me when I was young and wanted to draw on everything. I did not have access to a private supply of hemp paper then," she said with a quick wink. "Though even if I had, it would have been too expensive on which to practice. And, as you made clear, vellum is costly and not easily come by. So my father made me this to use over and over again," Bari said, proudly showing it to him. Conan just stared at it. Cloth? The only thing that would mark it was the ink he used on the vellum, which would stain the material. Linen seemed even less practical a medium than wax.
"Maybe we should stick to sticks and dirt," he grumbled.
Undeterred, Bari laid the cloth board in her lap. She pulled out a small leather bag and then opened it wide. Inside was a dark, wet substance. "I made this from the ash in my fireplace. You just add a little water until you get the right consistency. Now you can take your stylus, dip it in, and look." Vari outlined the petals to a flower in the lower right-hand corner. At night you untie it, wash it, and let it dry. Then you can start all over again the next day. Vari beamed him a smile and handed the board to him. For a second, Conan thought he was going to drown in the crystal-clear pools of her green eyes. Then he forced himself to look down at the board. He studied it with renewed appreciation. Bonnie had been right. He had already forgotten her reminder that he knew nothing about drawing. Conan picked up the stylus and looked at Vari. Her excitement ran through him, and he told himself to focus on what she was about to show him. If Vari really could teach him even some of the fundamentals of her style of drawing, it could revolutionize his approach to making maps. They would be more detailed, more readable, and, most importantly, more usable than he had ever imagined. So, where do we begin?
We begin with perspective. First look and study our view. Do you see the tree right in front of us, and the snow-topped mountain beyond the loch?
Conan nodded.
Now I want you to draw them on this corner, just like you see them.
Conan did so, and when finished, he was both pleased and frustrated with his work. He thought all three well done, considering he was not an artist, but they were nothing like Vari's.
Each is good, but I did not ask you to draw me a tree and a mountain. I asked you to draw me what you see. You made the mountain as big as the tree.
Seeing his mistake, Conan grunted and tried again.
Interesting, Vari hummed. It must look different from where you sit, because your mountain is bigger than the tree, Vari said.
But it is, Conan argued. A mountain may be larger than a tree in life, but I asked you to draw me what you see.
Vari then showed him what she had drawn. When I look out, the tree is really close. I see so much more of it than I do the mountain. It is actually bigger because of my perspective.
Conan studied her drawing and then looked back up. The tree was bigger than the mountain. It was even bigger than the loch and the forest beyond, and he said so.
That's right. That is the first thing you need to understand about perspective. It is not about how things actually are, but how they are perceived. To truly provide an understanding of something through a drawing, one should consider the object size and position in relation to others from a particular point.
You still can tell my mountain is larger in life than this tree, but because it is smaller, you also know how far it is from the tree.
Conan twisted his lips. It seems so simple an idea. I don't think I have ever felt more like an idiot.
Vari jerked back her chin.
Why? Every picture I have ever seen is depicted like what you first drew. Visual depth is never depicted.
She pointed to the canvas. Now it's time for you to practice and really start to feel like an idiot, because nothing is more frustrating to me than knowing what I want to do, but not having the skills to do it.
Vari reached into her bag and pulled out three more canvas boards. For you. When you fill that one, go to these. Just note that you will have to disassemble them and get one of the chambermaids to wash the cloths tonight so that they will be dry tomorrow.
You and I are coming back out tomorrow.
Vari held his gaze. You think by the end of the day you will be proficient at drawing?
He scoffed. Hardly.
Then we should plan to meet each afternoon we can until it turns too cold.
Afraid that his voice would show his happiness at the suggestion, Conan said nothing, but instead picked up his stylus and began sketching the view. After what felt like only a handful of minutes, Vari stretched her arms and then arched her back. She then pushed herself up to her feet and looked down where he stared up at her with a puzzled expression.
I think I'm done for the day, so I'm going to head back to the castle, but don't let my absence stop you.
Conan blinked and looked around. The sun had sunk low and was nearing the horizon. The fourth canvas board was in his hands, half full of marginal sketches, and the other three were next to him full of ashy markings. He could not believe it. They had been drawing for hours.
When Conan had first sat down, he had thought it was going to be impossible to focus on anything with Vari nearby.
Each time the wind caught her hair, a piece would drift over his arm, teasing him, and her wildflower scent wreaked havoc with his ability to focus on anything but her. Knowing this, he had planned to convince her to put her own drawing aside and entertain his first notion of thanking him by means of a kiss. But that had not happened. What had was akin to a miracle, at least for him. Never had he been able to work with a pretty woman nearby. Usually he found the sound of their constant jabbering annoying, but even the silent ones affected his ability to focus, for invariably his mind drifted to lustful thoughts. But amazingly, he had spent an entire afternoon with Vari, and actually worked. And it was not that he did not desire Vari. Just thinking of her created waves of lust inside him. He dreamed about how she would taste, and how she would come alive in his arms. He longed to experience her hidden passion exploding in his embrace. And yet somehow he had become completely fixated on learning what she had shown him. A sense of eagerness engulfed him. It had been a long time since he had felt so impatient, but tomorrow afternoon could not arrive fast enough. 4 days later, Conan paced by the oak tree, waiting for Vari to arrive. He had come early in hopes of releasing some of his tension before they met. When he was around her, he felt incredibly alive, like anything was possible, even more so than he did when he was engrossed in a new map. Unfortunately, his mind was not the only thing that was more alive. Being around her every day was also making it very difficult to keep his desires under control, and images of Vari in his arms, passionate and wanting, was invading too many of his thoughts. He knew if his imagination could be put to rest and he could actually just kiss her, much of his angst would disappear. Aye, there would probably be an excellent chance he would want another kiss, but he would at least then know, thereby ending his torment. However, events like that of the previous night did not help. On their second outing, Bonnie, Brenna, and Megan had tagged along, and the following day the weather had not cooperated. Yesterday had started similarly to their first. Vari had shown him a couple of tricks about how to mentally measure each component before trying to capture it on the cloth. Conan had had every intention on practicing them per her instruction, but he had also intended to take a break at some point and pursue other, more physically pleasurable things. The one thing critical to his plan, however, was the one thing he did not have, Vari's presence. Right after she had given her advice, she had instructed him to continue practicing. Then she had risen to her feet, dusted off her gown, grabbed her bag, and begun to head back to the castle. Conan had jumped up and chased after her.
"You are just leaving me here, alone."
Amusement had filled Vari's green eyes as she reached out and squeezed his bicep. "You seem capable enough to handle anything scary that might come along." Conan had swallowed. Vari had only briefly touched him, and the lower part of his body had gone hard. Any movement to hide the fact would have only shifted her gaze downward. He should have said goodbye and let her leave, but he had already appeared desperate. And yet, when he had opened his mouth to tell her to be careful, what had actually come out was, "How will I know if I did it right, and if I am ready for the next lesson?" "You can show me tomorrow."
"But I have to wash the cloths at night."
"So, you can draw something for me tomorrow."
"How about tonight?"
Conan had pressed, acting completely unlike himself. And yet, part of him had not cared. It had been nearly a week since he had ended his ill-conceived plan to ignore her, and other than their first outing, he had yet to spend any quality time alone with her, and only her. Vari had sighed and given him a long look. "How about after dinner?" she had suggested, "in the Great Hall." Conan had nodded and waited for her to turn and leave before returning to the blanket and his sketches. All that afternoon, throughout the entire meal, and right up until the doors opened, he had looked forward to their meeting. He had planned not only to show her the drawings, but what they could have been doing if she had not left their lesson early. Then again, there were several benefits of meeting at night in the Great Hall. No wind, unexpected passers-by, or setting sun forcing an inconvenient end to their time together. The night should have ended only after Vari had thoroughly and repeatedly been kissed. But when it was finally time for them to meet in the Great Hall, nothing had gone according to plan. He had arrived first, and his heart had started to pound, hearing Vari enter, and seeing her wear a huge welcoming smile. He returned her smile, but only briefly, for tailing right behind her had been Bonnie and Brenner. Upon seeing him, both screeched and ran forward, jabbering about wanting to see what their Uncle Conan was learning to do. Conan could not remember a time either of his nieces had been so chatty or critical. They had pointed out all the flaws in his sketches and what they thought he needed to practice more. Then they'd asked Vari question after question about her drawings. Bonnie, who had never been interested in art or maps before, had constantly poked him, telling him to pay attention, which he had pointedly refused to do. Instead, he had sat there, stretched out, moping as he downed several mugs of ale. He had not cared that he was being rude and immature. He had not cared about Bonnie or Brenner either. It had not been until morning, when he had woken to a huge headache and the memories of his boorish behaviour, that he had had a few pangs of regret that resulted in an illuminating conclusion. He needed to end his pointless pursuit of kissing Vari. If it happened, it happened, but the effort of trying to make it happen was, if possible, driving him even more insane. Conan had missed the morning meal and had persuaded Fiona to let him take some food to his room. He had remained there through the noon meal, so he'd yet to see anyone. He had no idea of just how mad Vari was. Any other woman, Conan would not have had to wonder. He would already know. She would have reamed him out that night before retiring, and most likely he would have woken up to something just as bitter being shouted from the bailey. But that was not Vari's style. All he could remember was her whispering to the girls that the next time they all decided to meet with Uncle Conan, they should warn him first. That they were lucky he had stayed with them and had not left, especially when he was not having any fun. Had she meant it, or had Vari only offered the words to comfort his two nieces? Conan spotted Vari approaching and stopped his pacing. He shielded his eyes from the bright overhead sun and tried to detect her mood from her expression, but he could not tell anything other than she was not smiling. He swallowed. "You angry about last night?" Vari tilted her head slightly and looked at him quizzically. "I thought you were mad at me," she said, fanning herself with her hand. "Laurel insisted Brenner and Bonnie come with me, and I know you don't like surprises." She was right. He didn't, and Laurel knew it as well. He had wondered what his sister-in-law's reaction would be if she suspected his desire for Vari. Now he had his answer. Unlike with his brothers, Laurel was not going to ease his path toward true love. Which was good, because he did not want true love or any of the burdens that came with it. He only wanted a kiss. Laurel must have realized it, and unfortunately, she saw kissing him as a woman's first step to heartache.
"I was still a kind of a hoon last night."
"You were."
Vari laughed at the memory. "That was why annoying you was so much fun. You only got grumpier. We took score at who could get you to growl the loudest." Conan pursed his lips. Once again, Vari was discombobulating him to the point where he lacked for words. "Who won?" he finally asked. Vari bit her lower lip in an effort to hide her smile. "We promised each other not to tell." She then fanned herself again. "It is strangely hot for this time of year. If it continues, we may need to meet after first meal, before the sun is blazing overhead." Conan shook his head.
"I can't, then. I train in the mornings."
"Do you have to train, then? Couldn't you, take a break for a few weeks?"
Conan flexed the muscle in his arm that she had touched the prior day.
"If I didn't, I would be a twig like Megan, and wielding a sword is a skill that must be regularly practiced to be maintained."
"Then what are you going to do when you leave in the spring?"
The image of you waving a sword around in the air each morning is not very flattering."
Conan chortled at the idea.
"There'll be plenty of opportunities for me to keep up my skills. It's not like I'm going to be sleeping outside under the stars all the time. I'm travelling and mapping the land at the request of King Robert. So most nights I will be staying as guest to a laird, much like you are to my brother. While I'm there, I'll train with their men as I can. Once I'm done, I'll move to the next clan and map their lands."
Barry stared at him for several seconds in disbelief. She knew that Conan thought when they left in the spring and went their separate ways that his travels were going to be far more severe and uncomfortable. He had intimated as much several times, and she had believed him, thinking him hunting each night for his food, sleeping on the ground with only a blanket to shield him from the cold or the rain. Now she just wanted to laugh. Aye, Conan was going to have to forage for his food periodically. But from what he described, most nights he would be served a delicious meal that consisted of a wide variety of foods. Merchants rarely experienced such luxuries, even wealthy ones like her father. Unlike her, Conan was going to be nestled on a mattress in a cozy bed with a large hearth fire to warm him. Her blanket-cushioned bed was going to be inside their wagon and was going to be put together and dismantled each night. If their two futures were reversed, Conan would have a much harder time surviving hers, an opinion she decided was best kept to herself. Still, she could not help but say, "Based on last night and today, you have a lot of work to do on perspective. Yours is definitely skewed." Conan looked down at the canvas in his hands and realized it was blank from being cleaned. He sighed heavily. He had thought he had been improving. "You can practice trees and mountains later," Vari said, gesturing for him to bring everything and follow her. "Today we are going to learn how to draw an object that is both near and far." Vari started walking, coming to a stop about halfway down a sloping hill. She pointed to a thick rock wall that was about waist high. She sat down and said, "Try drawing the rock wall." Conan sat next to her and attempted to sketch the wall. The result was a wall, but it looked nothing like the rock wall in front of them. It no longer bothered him that it was wrong. He actually liked Bari's style of instruction. Instead of teaching, as she herself drew things, Vari preferred to use his efforts as a starting point. "That's good, but remember to draw what you see, not what you know. Aye, the wall is the same height and width its whole length, but it doesn't look that way from here. It starts out very small and narrow, and then gets wider and taller the closer it gets." Conan stared at the scene she wanted him to capture, and realized that the wall did look like it was shrinking as it stretched into the distance. He tried again to draw it, and with a frustrated grunt handed the stylus to Vari. She scrunched her nose, and he almost thought she was going to refuse his nonverbal request. "Fine," Vari playfully grumbled. "One time, but I have my own drawing to focus on." Vari quickly sketched it. Conan watched carefully how she started, using basic shapes to outline the primary features. "Next you add features in layers, beginning with the most distant thing and ending with the closest." When Vari leaned over to grab her bag, Conan panicked. "You leaving me again?" "Not today," she answered with a brief shake of her head. "I love Brenna and Bonnie, even Megan, but I'm not used to having noise around me all the time. I like to have quiet when I read or draw. Normally, I would come out here by myself, but during your first lesson, I realized we had something else in common. When we get started on a project, our focus consumes us to the point an army could be marching by, and we would never know." Vari was right, but the idea that she would come this far away from the castle by herself was disturbing. There were wild animals in the area, some of them vicious. In the colder months, when prey was less easy to find, it was not unthinkable for a wildcat to attack a lone female.
"Promise me you will never come out here without someone, preferably skilled in weaponry, accompanying you."
"Why?" Bari asked, nudging his arm with her shoulder. "Worried about me?" With a serious look, he answered, "Aye. Promise me, Bari."
"I'll have you know that I can take care of myself, and I'm not scared of wild animals. You need not worry about me. I did survive alone for nearly 2 weeks in my cottage before you arrived."
"Promise me, Bari, or I'll order the guards at the gate not to let you pass."
Bari blinked. Conan was being deadly serious. She had been earnest about being capable of taking care of herself, but she was not sure how to convince Conan of that without killing and skinning a wildcat to prove it. "I already promised Laurel that I would not venture out alone, so you do not have to worry, so..."
Conan swallowed and nodded, relief relaxing his tense features. "Good. Make sure you keep that promise."
For the next couple of weeks, they kept to their routine. They would meet for a few hours in the afternoon before Conan returned to help Connor with clan needs or work on things in preparation for his journey. Bari was certain that Conan had either forgotten or was delaying building her shelves, but she found herself to be caring less and less each day. She was getting used to dealing with the cluttered mess in her room, and Bari truly enjoyed spending time with Conan. Though she would never admit it, she preferred his company more than anyone else's. That did not mean she did not enjoy being around others. Bari liked Megan enormously, and felt fortunate to have found in her an unexpected friend. They could and did talk about almost anything. Even discussing clothes with Megan could be entertaining. She had the most hilarious stories about Bonnie and Brenna, as well as Gideon and Brayden, but mostly they would chatter about the soldiers and the silly things men did for attention. Megan teased her about Conan, and Bari teased her back about Seamus, for Bari was positive Megan liked the large soldier, despite her constant assurances that she was in love with the absent Clyde. And while they got along very well, there was still only so much time the two of them could spend together before they ran out of things to say. Luckily, both had become fairly good at recognizing the precursors to such awkward moments and would go their separate ways before only silence was between them. Bari would have thought she would experience the same desire for space after several hours in Conan's company, and yet she didn't. Sometimes they congenially talked almost the entire time they were together. Other times their conversation ended up in a heated debate with voices raised. But just as often, they found themselves laughing together at a story one remembered, a funny thought, or something random one of them saw. And then were the times that neither said anything at all. Never before had she been able to sit with someone quietly, without her silence being questioned. Even her father had had trouble with that one. Spending time with Conan had felt so natural that Bari had not realized just how unusual their relationship had become. At least not until Megan had commented that some of the soldiers were betting on who was going to break first, her or Conan. That was when Bari had learned that she held the record for the most days a woman had spent in Conan's company without some kind of public eruption. Most did not even make it a week before they accosted him in the courtyard, calling him heartless, selfish, and other unflattering things at the top of their lungs. When Bari had mentioned it to Conan, he had asked her what she had thought, and her answer had been the same as what she had told Megan. "It's not your fault they lost their hearts to you. You probably even warned them against doing so." Conan had flashed her a grin.
"You know, I actually did."
"Then again, those dimples are an unfair advantage. I told you that they are lethal to a woman's good sense."
"Good thing they do not work on you,"
he said with a chortle as he continued practicing the lesson of the day. That was when Bari had known that it was not going to happen. Conan was never going to kiss her. He may have thought about it at one time, but that desire had been replaced with simple friendship. Deep down, Bari knew it was a good thing. She most likely was going to be staying at McTierney Castle for another 4 months, and that time would be far more pleasant if she and Conan continued as they were. While she truly believed she could keep the emotional aspect of kissing away from her heart, it was a risk to test that belief.
"How's it going?" Bari asked, leaning over to see how Conan was progressing. They had moved on to how to draw locks, rivers, and they'd even figured out a way to make it small enough to be depicted on a map. It was clear Conan understood the concepts she was teaching him, but skilled execution of them would take time and a lot of practice.
"I'm still trying to figure out how to capture the right amount of detail to show the features of an area, but capture enough landmass to make the map of value. I don't expect King Robert to piece together hundreds of these things on his whole wall just to see all of Scotland. It needs to be smaller, something that could be bound in a book and transported."
Bari sighed and put her own stylus down. She leaned back on her hands and closed her eyes, soaking in the warmth of the sun. "We should enjoy these warm afternoons. Did you feel how cold it got last night?"
"Aye," he murmured, concentrating on his drawing.
The temperature was not truly warm like it was in the summer, but the sun was bright and the wind was slight, making the day enjoyable when dressed in warm clothes.
"I think I understand this enough for now. Let's work on castles tomorrow. I know that there is not a large call for it on maps, but it might be useful, and I want to learn all I can while I have the chance."
Bari took in a deep breath and exhaled, completely relaxed.
"I can show you castles next if you want, but not tomorrow. I promised to go on an afternoon picnic with Loman while the warm weather still permitted."
Conan froze, glad that Bari's eyes were still closed. He knew several of the soldiers liked Bari. It was to be expected. She was beautiful and aggravatingly friendly. Of course she had admirers. But he had not thought Bari returned their regard, and Loman was the worst. Practically the day after Seamus had introduced them, he had taken every opportunity to say some overly sweet hello, trap her into talking with him, or compel her to laugh at some story that was, in essence, boring and trite. Conan had thought Bari felt the same. They were so alike in their attitudes and opinions, about so many things. He had just assumed that she viewed Loman's machinations the same way he did, contrived and unwanted. But if she was going on an afternoon picnic with Loman, he had been wrong, very wrong, and about a lot. A whole afternoon together. If Loman's attraction to Bari was anything similar to Conan's, the honey-haired soldier was not going to return to the castle with only a full belly and some conversation to get him through the night.
"You know Loman is going to try and kiss you," he gritted out.
"Probably," Bari answered, eyes still closed, unperturbed at the idea.
"Are you going to let him?"
Conan's clipped tone caused Bari to open her eyes. She held his gaze steady and answered,
"Of course I am. I told you but I wanted to know what it was like to kiss a man. All the farmers I met while at the Priory wanted to marry me. To kiss them would have been like accepting a marriage proposal. Now I finally have the chance, and I'm going to take it."
Conan could feel his jaw clench. The logic was there. Bari did not sound as if she desired Loman, and yet the idea of that man's lips against hers was turning his stomach into knots.
"And you don't think that Loman wants to marry you?"
Bari thought for a moment, and then with a shrug shook her head. She leaned back again, closed her eyes, and continued enjoying the sun. "He knows I plan to leave McTierney Castle and travel with my father, and I don't see Loman suddenly wanting to become a merchant. So no, I don't think he has any thoughts toward marriage, and a kiss certainly isn't going to create them. We just enjoy each other's company." Conan stood up abruptly. Bari reopened her eyes to see he was packing his things. "We're leaving?" she asked, rising to her feet as well.
"Aye," he said, clearly disgruntled.
"I promise we will get together again in 2 days, and I will show you how to draw buildings, castles, or whatever you want."
Conan dropped his things to the ground.
"You think that's what I care about right now?"
He reached out and his hands gripped her arms, not painfully, but with enough force Bari could feel the tension raging in his body.
"If you wanted to know what a kiss was like so damn bad, you should have asked me."
The desire Conan had worked so hard to suppress suddenly erupted and was beyond his control. His mouth came down on hers before Bari could even think of moving. He caught her face between his hands, pulled her close, and kissed her, hard and deliberately, letting her feel the frustration and temper she had aroused in him. Bari was not sure what was happening until the moment she felt Conan's mouth close roughly over hers, searing their lips together. Surprised, she at first clutched his forearms and resisted, but Conan did not lessen his hold. The pressure against her mouth was deep and persuasive and undeniable, and before she realized what she was doing, her mouth opened and welcomed him in. Her first real kiss. It was more than Bari had ever dreamed it could be. She knew there were different types of kisses, those with closed lips and those with an open mouth. And when she had thought about what her first kiss should be, she had always envisioned something soft and sweet, where two pairs of lips met together. The exchange was supposed to be pleasurable, nothing like she was feeling with Conan. Her body was on fire. She felt as if she were melting and hungry at the same time. Conan moaned. Bari's initial resistance was gone, and she was starting to respond. When she finally reached out and tasted him with her tongue, a shudder of need racked him. Something told him to let her go, and maybe he would have found the will if Bari's slim fingers had not slid up his arms and clutched at his shoulders. Ending the kiss now was not a possibility. A sharp groan escaped his throat, and Conan pulled her in closer. His whole body was tight with desire. The full force of his own hunger burned inside him, and he refused to suffer alone. He would fan her own growing desire to such levels that she would never consider kissing another man. Bari whimpered as Conan invaded the vulnerable warmth behind her lips with an intimate aggression that seared her senses. She had been completely unprepared for the flood of sensations his tongue would create, boldly stroking the inside of her mouth. His arms and body were taut with muscle. He was broader and, excitingly, harder than she. Bari knew she should do something to stop Conan's passionate assault upon her senses, but she couldn't muster the will to push him away. Not yet. If anything, she wanted to be closer to him and leaned into him, unable to rationalize why or what she was doing. His musky scent filled her nostrils and caused an unfamiliar stir in her belly. Her hands ran down over his chest of their own accord, and then back up around his neck. He matched her need and pulled her tightly to him, causing her to groan. Conan reveled in the way her lips moved against his. Bari tasted as good as he had known she would, but instead of quenching his desire for her, her taste only inflamed it. He wanted her more than he had ever thought it possible to want any woman. Conan's hands became as undisciplined as his mouth, taming and exciting as he stroked a warm part from her shoulders to the base of her spine. Bari trembled under his touch. It hardly seemed possible, but his fierce kiss had turned even more wild and ravenous. A shiver rolled through her, and she suspected that what she was feeling could not be experienced in the arms of any other man. Conan was masterful, demanding, and all-consuming. The hot, sensuous kiss went on and on, suffusing her body with an aching need for more. He was kissing her as though she were a drink of water, and he were a man dying of thirst, and part of her hoped he would never be quenched. She moaned and felt her legs begin to quiver. Conan held her tight so that she did not fall, but he did break off the kiss, giving them a chance to suck in much-needed air. "Conan," Bari whispered, just before she rocked against him and went up on her tiptoes to seek his mouth again. He cursed, "Mushed," and then bent his head to kiss her once more, his tongue penetrating, stroking, taking, his body hard and hot with wanting her. Over and over again, he slanted his mouth over Mari's. He curved his hand around the nape of her neck, keeping her in place, enjoying the silken feel of her skin, while his body raged for something more. Bari let go another moan, and Conan knew he was at the brink of insanity. He had never shared an embrace, but had turned so hot, so consuming, as to be in danger of losing control. But that was where he was at with Bari. With the last of his strength, he lifted his mouth from hers and looked down into her pale emerald eyes. She stared back at him with a mixture of confusion and vulnerability, and he steeled himself against it. Her chest heaved with the effort it took to breathe. He had never before experienced a need so deep, and it felt threatening. Suddenly, he needed to protect himself, his heart, and his future. He needed to get away, now, before it was too late. Conan held her face in his hands and looked down into the shining depths of her passion-filled eyes. "There, now you have something to compare Lorman's kiss to." Then he let her go and walked away, knowing those words, when they finally penetrated, would keep her from running after him. Chapter 6.
"Hold it there," Conan said to Seamus as he shifted the heavy shelf into place. "So where's Vari?" Seamus grunted. "Out on a picnic with Lorman." Seamus leaned back to look at Conan. His eyebrows were arched high, and a slight smile formed on his lips. "Interesting."
Conan gave Seamus a quick glare, and then went back to focus on securing the board in the panel's groove. Neither would ever admit they considered each other friends. Both told others they stomached the other's company. But in truth, Conan respected the quiet soldier, and in the past year a surprising but strong bond of friendship had grown between them, and all because of a woman. Conan had never been attracted to Megan, though he could see her appeal when he considered the idea objectively. But to him, Megan would always be the skinny spitfire who had chased after his younger brother for years. He had seen the mutual attachment start to grow between them before Clyde had left. Clyde, in actions more than words, had claimed the girl as his own, and probably this, more than anything else, kept Conan from truly seeing the soft beauty she had become. Her bony arms and body had filled out in the last few years, and her large eyes, the color of a clear winter sky, had begun to mesmerize many a soldier in Clyde's absence. One of them was Seamus. With Hamish gone and living in the north, Seamus had taken the man's place next to Finn as Connor's second-in-command. As such, he had been around the castle a lot more than most, and routinely crossed paths with Megan. And each time they had spoken, the more Seamus had grown to like her. And soon he had begun to search for ways to be in her company whenever he was not on duty. Since Megan was usually watching over Bonnie, and the little girl preferred to spend time with her uncle, Seamus had found himself in a situation he had never predicted to be in, seeking out Conan's company. At first, Conan had thought of Seamus just as another nuisance, who clearly was using him to spend time with a woman, something Conan might have respected more if Seamus liked someone other than Megan. But when Bonnie had mentioned how much the soldier had been helping him while he was there in prepping for his travels, Conan had realized she was right. After that, he no longer cared about Seamus's ulterior motives. Not only did he respect the soldier, but he liked the man. Conan also hoped that Megan would realize before it was too late that Clyde was never coming back, and that she could do no better than a good man who was inexplicably in love with her.
"What's so interesting about it?" Conan grumbled as he fought with the board.
He knew it fit. The frustrating piece of wood just did not know it yet.
"Only that building all these shelves was a lot of work. One typically does not spend a lot of time on a project when there is no personal benefit. You certainly don't."
"I was ordered to do it, if you recall. I did not have much of a choice."
Finally, the board slid all the way into the groove. Conan put downward pressure on it, testing its strength. Pleased, he went to grab the next shelf.
"Why do you care, anyway?"
"I don't, necessarily, but there are several men I know who are very interested in your relationship with Bari."
Conan felt his jaw tighten. He should have anticipated something like this. Fighting men, especially the unmarried ones, bet all the time and on anything. Bari was something new to wager on. But their relationship? Making bets on that was senseless when he and Bari did not have one.
"What kind of wages are you talking about?"
Seamus grunted when Conan began to push against the panel he was holding in an effort to wedge the next shelf into place.
"Just what you would expect. Everyone knows you two are friends and go out each afternoon, so there are wages on whether you two are going to pair up. But most just bet on when you are going to infuriate Vari to the point that she yells at you like all your other past women. I wonder who won today."
"She didn't yell at me today, and if she hasn't already, I doubt she will."
Seamus peeked around, and then he caught Conan's eye. He grinned largely.
"I was talking about the bet on Loman being the first to successfully ask Vari out."
Conan scowled at the hint.
"There will be others."
"What if there are?" Conan grumbled, frustrated with both the board he was fighting and the revelation Seamus was sharing.
"Why haven't you tried your charms on Vari? I know it's been a while since you've actually pursued a woman, but I've never seen anyone get a female as quickly as you when you are of a mind to have one. Right now I have more important things to think about, and it's been a while because I've learned that women are the definition of trouble."
Conan heard the popping sound of the second shelf sliding into place. He slapped his hands together. Curiosity forced him to ask,
"So, which way did you bet?"
"Who says I did?"
"I do."
Seamus scoffed.
"Believe it or not, I bet on you."
"Bad bet, my friend," Conan replied, picking up the third and final shelf.
Unfortunately, they had two more bookcases to put together.
"Why? Of all the women you have ever encountered, or are likely to encounter, Vari is by far the best suited for someone with your temperament. Her wit, for example. You both have a strange sense of humour, although hers is one others tend to enjoy."
This time it was Conan who peeked around to give Seamus an annoyed look.
"What? People laugh when they're around her, even you on occasion. She likes pictures just like you do, and she also wants to see the world."
Hearing no response from Conan, Seamus added,
"And there is the fact that Vari is unquestionably beautiful. I don't see how even you can resist that combination."
"You're resisting it."
"That's because my heart has already been claimed, and so will Vari's be if you do not stop pretending you are not interested in her."
Conan did not like hearing that other men thought Vari beautiful, but to hear Seamus say it really rankled. And Conan had not realized others thought she was so funny. He put the board in place and gave it a forceful shove.
"She'd be happier with someone else." "Not in the long run. The woman is really smart. She is a female version of yourself."
Seamus continued, waving his hand at all the books and manuscripts scattered around the room.
"I've seen her challenge you a few times. And want to know what I saw? You liked it."
"Are you going to talk nonsense the whole afternoon?" Conan asked as he went to start putting together the second bookcase.
Seamus ignored him.
"And what is really crazy is that Vari, after spending hours in your company, doesn't seem to be repelled by you. Hell, I bet if you try, you could convince her to fall in love with you."
The pit that had been in Conan's stomach since he and Vari kissed turned over. Love was not a notion he wanted to entertain, and what they had shared yesterday had been more than simple desire. Kissing women was an act of lust, driven by a basic primal need to mate. But kissing Vari had been different. Once their lips met, Conan had craved her in a way that he could not explain. Such physical desires wane once parted, but with Vari, he did not just want her in his bed. He wanted to be around her. He actually enjoyed her company. Wanting her physically and emotionally, that was a dangerous combination.
"Your five older brothers seem happy to have found someone and be married. Maybe it's your turn."
Conan paused to look at Seamus to see if he was serious.
"What are you really asking? Because it sounds like you are sizing me up for another bet. If that's true, I'll save everyone some money. It is not going to happen. Trust me when I say that Vari is just as much against the idea of being tied down as I am."
Seamus shrugged disbelievingly and took the side panel Conan handed him.
"I'll remind you that all your brothers said the same thing until Lady McTierney got involved. Well, then, lucky for me, my sister-in-law has sworn never to help a woman ruin her life by attaching herself to me. Laurel discourages them from even talking to me, let alone falling in love and all that other nonsense. Then you really don't mind that a lot of other men are looking at Vari, wanting to know if she is available?
Conan kept his focus on the panel in front of him. The first chop was the hardest, for it secured the vertical panels. Once he was sure his expression was under control, Conan looked at Seamus. The damn man was smiling again. Seamus never smiled, but all afternoon he had had one plastered on his face. His grin was really becoming irritating.
"Listen closely," Conan said through gritted teeth. "I might like to hear Vari laugh as much as the next man, and I won't deny I enjoy looking at her, but nothing is going to keep me from leaving in the spring, alone."
Conan almost added that if other men wanted her, they were welcome to chase her, but he could not compel himself to say the words. He knew without doubt that come spring, just like him, Vari would be leaving the Highlands happily unwed. Her reasons were as deeply rooted as his, and if she wanted to enjoy herself while she was here, he was not going to act like a lovesick puppy and stop it. Loman's hand brushed Vari's cheek, and her breath hitched in her throat, knowing what was about to happen. Loman tipped her chin up, and his kind eyes stared down at her before narrowing on her lips. Then he leaned forward, cradled her face in his strong hands, and brushed his lips against hers. Soft and gentle, it was nothing like Conan's demanding kiss from yesterday. Loman was sweet, smooth and tender, so different from Conan. Loman's lips may not be passion-filled, but they were soft and warm, and while molded to hers, they were surprisingly pleasant. The long, gradual kiss was not meant to create intense waves of need, but instead was a sweet mixture of patience and hope, quite different from the scorching, primal embrace she had shared with Conan. Today she was not being branded or seduced. She was being asked. After Conan had left, it had taken Vari hours to calm her racing heart enough to recall what he had said. His parting words had practically been a dare, and Vari had wondered if it would be possible to enjoy another man's kiss. Now she knew. She did like it. She was kissing Loman and not cringing at his touch, but enjoying the feeling of being desirable. However, Vari knew there was only one mouth she would ever crave. One man who could make her lose all thought and control. And while Loman's lips were soft, warm and sweet, they lacked the aggressive passion that made her feel alive and fully as a woman. Loman pulled away slowly from her lips and smiled. "That was nice." Vari stroked his cheek and then leaned back. "It was nice, but I don't think we should do it again." Loman leaned out to caress her chin with his thumb.
"Why not if we both enjoyed it?"
Vari pulled back further. She licked her lips and held his gaze so that he knew she was not playing games. "Because, Loman, I think if we continued kissing, you would eventually believe it would lead to other things." She swallowed. "And I'm not wanting those things."
"You could, if you let yourself," Loman encouraged.
Vari shook her head. "Another kiss is not going to change my mind."
"What about Conan?" he asked. "Is that why you are with him so much? Because he makes no demands?"
Vari rolled her eyes, hoping to hide any feelings she might have for Conan. "He has nothing to do with what I want. My sister and I made plans to travel throughout Scotland long before I came here, and now I am planning to do so with my father."
"But plans change," Loman countered, his lips curled into a boyish smile. "Yours did. They could again."
His tone was light, good-humouredly hopeful, despite knowing that they were not meant to be. Vari bit her bottom lip to keep from laughing. "Fine, persistent one. Let's say we kissed again."
"And again,"
Loman added with a cheeky smile that was aimed to wear her down. "And even again," Vari capitulated. "Then what is going to happen this spring when my father comes? Because no matter how much I was in love, there is one thing that will never change. I could never live in one place for the rest of my life. The idea of a small home to care for is beyond unappealing. She shuddered. Cooking and cleaning every day would make me miserable, and then I would make you miserable. Seeing she had his attention, she did not stop. And knowing this, are you saying that you would agree to leave with my father and me? Live a merchant's way of life? Travel on the road all the time, meeting new people? The daily challenge would not be wielding a sword, but outthinking the buyer, trying to convince him to give up some of his hard-earned coin for some quality goods. Loman swallowed and straightened his shoulders, his smile gone. Though he did not say anything, but Vari knew his answer. You and I both know you would never be happy as a merchant.
No, Loman agreed, I have no desire to be anything like a merchant. I don't mind periodically visiting other places, but I have a home here, and the idea of coming home to a welcoming family is what I want. I just haven't found anyone who wants to have it with me.
Vari found that hard to believe, but then Loman was not simply looking for a wife. He wanted a woman to love, and who would love him in return. She will come. Give her time, she encouraged. Loman took a deep breath and exhaled. Still friends?
Vari laughed. Of course we are. One little kiss doesn't have the power to end a friendship.
But she knew that was a lie. One little kiss just might have done that very thing with her and Conan, and their bond had been much stronger, far more compelling. Yet the power of a single kiss might have snapped it. Vari shifted and began to look around at the remnants of the lovely meal they had enjoyed. Shall I start to pack up? Loman laid back and crossed his feet at the ankles. He hooked his hands behind his head and said,
Why? Finn gave me the whole afternoon to do as I please, and what pleases me most right now is spending time with you, mostly because I know that every moment you and I are out here together is another moment I'm making Conan squirm.
Vari looked to the heavens and shook her head.
You are awful, she said, chuckling, hoping that Loman was right. Well, until the wind grows too cold.
Loman let go a loud laugh and slapped his thighs.
It's settled, then. We let Conan squirm for as long as we can.
Say that again, Megan demanded.
I kissed Loman, Vari repeated, lying on Megan's bed, staring at the ceiling.
Well, I guess he kissed me, but I let him.
Megan got up and went to the large window that looked outside the castle walls. Below was a large ravine, and beyond that were rolling hills. It was still a couple of hours before sunset, but dark clouds were coming in, making it seem later than it was. It did not help that her bedroom was on the first floor of the Star Tower, and did not allow for some of the great views on the upper floors. McTierney Castle was large, but there were several that were bigger in Scotland. What made it notable was its great hall and the Star Tower. 7 stories tall, it was one of the biggest in the country. The tower was where the Laird and his family lived. Megan knew she was fortunate that Connor and Laurel felt she was part of theirs. They considered her family, and she considered them hers.
"Did you want to kiss Loman?"
Vari shrugged noncommittally. "I was curious to know if it would be different from Conan's."
"You did what?"
Megan screeched in shock as she spun around from her bedroom window.
"You heard me. You actually kissed Conan?"
Vari sighed. "I did not want to kiss him, and I'm not sure he wanted to kiss me either. He and I were arguing, and then suddenly we were grasping onto each other as if some force were preventing us from letting go. That's why I kissed Loman."
Megan shook her head. "I am not following."
To see if it would be different. Until yesterday I had never kissed anyone before. I was not sure if they were all the same. But they aren't.
They aren't?
Realizing what Megan was implying, Vari got up on her elbows. Are you saying that in your 20 years you've never kissed anyone?
You're 22?
But I lived in a priory, Vari protested. Even then I had opportunities. What about Clyde?
I was not really old enough for kissing before he left, Megan whispered, somewhat embarrassed by the admission.
It was easy to say that you loved someone and that they loved you. She had repeated it enough that everyone believed her. But if she let it be known that she and Clyde had never even kissed, her assertions of love would not be taken as seriously.